Three little guys, as little guys are wont to do, they got talking about their daddies. And one said, my daddy's faster than your daddy. Said, my daddy can throw a 90 mile per hour fastball, run behind the plate, put a mitt on, and catch it himself. Other little guy said, that's nothing. My daddy can take his bow and arrow, aim it, fire it, then run out ahead of it, hold up the target, and hit the bullseye. Third little guy said, you boys, your daddies are so slow. Said, my daddy's got a job. He works till 4 o'clock every day, but he gets home at 3:30. You'll get it later. Well, sometimes we in the adult world can get into this idea of competition and one-upmanship. You see it all around us in the area of business. How many employees does your company have? Mine has this many. Even among pastors. How large is your church? How many members does your church have? People out in the halls of commerce. How many people are part of your network? How many organizations? How many members? What's your gross income? And on it goes, just kind of like playing ping pong back and forth. One-upping one another because we've assigned value to those kind of things and interpret that as success. But when we crack the Bible open into the teaching of Jesus, there was an occasion when he lets his disciples know in no uncertain terms, that's not how Christian people are to live their lives. Go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. We're continuing our series, The Path of Spiritual Growth. And today there's a few lessons we're going to learn out of Matthew chapter 20. Now, before I begin reading, the verses that precede this are the occasion when two of the disciples, and I don't want to embarrass James and John by saying it was their mama, but a woman came, one of the mothers of the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, can one of my sons be on your right hand and the other one on your left hand? She wanted those places of honor and position for her boys. And a good mama, you know, you can understand that. But the other disciples heard what was happening and they began to discuss. I would imagine they were opining and ranting with one another about who the greatest was. Well, I've done this for, I've done that. Lord, well, I was there when this happened. Well, I was there when that happened. And back and forth, trying to determine, jockeying for position of who would be the prominent disciples. And Jesus called them to himself in verse 25, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. That's the way the world operates. And those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Let him, he says, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. The world says greatness is about how many people you can get to serve you. The word says, Jesus' own words here, if you want to be great, serve others. He said, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, a reference to himself, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now that crunches your toes a bit, doesn't it? So different than what the world would say to us about being successful and climbing our way to the top and having a position of importance. And yet the Son of the living God, the most perfect man, God in a human suit, he walked this earth and he said, here's why I'm here, to serve other people. It's one of his expressly spoken mission statements. I am here to do this. I am here not to be served. I am here instead to serve. In Luke 19, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So you have different places where Jesus reveals his purpose for being here. And here this morning we're seeing, he says, I came to serve. It's a pathway to greatness. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't rebuke his disciples for seeking greatness. I don't think there's anything wrong in wanting your life to have great influence, for your life to matter, to fulfill purpose, to be a blessing. The problem comes when we're wrongly defining greatness. Again, it's not how many people serve us, it's how many people we can serve. So he doesn't rebuke them for aiming at greatness, but rather he properly defines what it means to be great. And he said, if you're going to be great, you're going to have to learn how to serve. So the path of spiritual growth cannot be exempt from this idea of serving. Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And in the church world today, if we're not careful, we will embrace a mentality that says, entertain me. I'm here to consume. I'm here to be pleased. It's about me. And yet, that notion is foreign to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Because the path of spiritual growth means that day by day we are becoming more like Jesus Christ himself, right? Here he says, okay, you want to be like me? You want to live the way I lived? Then you have to have a servant heart. And that brings with it days you have to do hard things. Days when things may not be going the way you want them to go, but yet you still choose the way the Lord wants you to go. Part of that means helping, giving, serving. I want you to have those three elements in mind in today's teaching of the path of spiritual growth. Helping, giving, serving. We'll use this passage as the foundation. Helping. Could I say to you that you are created to help others in part? May I also say to you that the way help is expressed through your life, there's going to be a uniqueness to it that sets you apart from anyone else. In other words, when God moves and works through you, you add spice to the world. You have your own special sauce. And brothers and sisters, this morning, part of our existence here, you know, and I agree with the Westminster Catechism, which is rooted in Scripture, the chief end of man is to glorify God and serve him forever. But when that's expressed, this wonderful thing happens that benefits other people. You will add value to the lives of other people who are around you. To me, the big plus sign in history is the cross itself. It's where the collision of the worst that men could bring collides with the best that God could offer. And we find our reason for being. We find our path forward. We find the means of victory over our fallen nature. The shadowy side of our life. And let's just be honest. Apart from the grace of God, all of us here this morning have, unfortunately, a great capacity to hurt other people. But God's grace and the power of the cross reconciles us with God, introduces us to the ways and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so that we can now add value to the life of other people as we live out our life. I'm just telling you, the world's better off because you're here now. You've been redeemed. And you have purpose and you have meaning. And we are partnering with God Himself. His Spirit now dwelling in our spirit. Our lives under the Lordship of Jesus, the God-man. And part of what we're to be doing is helping folks. And it's going to, when you are in the help mode, something wonderful happens. It's not going to happen if you don't step into that place. So helping is part of this whole idea today. So the last thing I want to talk about, serving. All of these kind of collate together, but there's just a little bit of difference here. To help other people. Everything's not about us. We're here to help others. Adam, when he was alone in the garden, and God was with him. I mean, he had a hippopotamus and a giraffe and some other, you know. But God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He made him a wife. The Bible calls her a helpmate. Right? And the two became one. And there was a completeness in that union that Adam could never experience apart. And Jesus, who's now the groom of his bride, the church. The church was birthed out of his side, like Eve was created out of Adam's side. And the church has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the helper. We are now, if you'll allow me to say it this way, through the Holy Spirit's enablement, the helpmate of Jesus Christ in the earth. We also are now representing Christ's body. When he was here literally for 3 years in ministry, he was, well, 33 years, but his 3 years of ministry, everywhere he went, people could see him, they could touch him, they could smell him, they could experience him in his human body. Well, now, in bodily form, he's seated by the right hand of God the Father, but his bride, the church now, it's called the body of Christ in the earth. So we are representing Christ, representing Christ to the world. And the Holy Spirit is helping us. So, and the Bible says, and this is a verse, you're going to hear it 3 or 4 times a month, and you're already used to that. But as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are called the sons of God. So when we're living the Spirit-led life, part of that's going to manifest in helping, because he's the helper who's helping us help others. And in our helping others, others are exposed to the fragrance of Jesus Christ, the visual beauty of Christ at work, the emotional touch of having been touched by Christ's love through the hands of his children in the world, through the hands of his bride in the world. Helping is part of that. And if we're not helping in some way, we're missing out. And it's easy to hear the whispers of the world and interpret everything has to be about me. We can be so egocentric. Our old man likes that. It gives him a few minutes out of that coffin he's supposed to stay in, right? Helping. Do you know that Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, you can find this verse. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. It says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. But you notice that helps is in there. Helps is one of the dynamic, powerful enablements of the Holy Spirit. And some of you are uniquely gifted in this. All of us are uniquely gifted as helpers. But on top of that, there is a spiritual gifting of helping. Thank God for that in the local church. People are helping in the nursery right now. There were greeters at the doors that were helping when you arrived. People will help our guests with their gift bags. They're helping in that way. Ushers help. Our SAT team, our security team members, they are helping. In children's church, we have helpers. We need helpers. And by the way, as we move toward getting in that new building, there's two doors on this building where people come and go. There's going to be like 10 or 11 doors in a new building, but there's going to be six of them that people will be entering in on Sunday morning. That means we're going to need three times more greeters for every service than we have right now. And I'm believing, God, that we're going to have some of those souped up, I call them limo golf carts, that about eight people at a time can ride on, because some of you are going to be able to catch the little trolley from your car the door, and some of you are going to get to drive that thing, guys, if you're willing to help. All kinds of helpers in the coffee shop. We're going to need helpers. We're going to need more helpers in the children's area, more helpers in the nursery area. We got two points of entry here in this room. There'll be four there concerning ushers and people in coming and go. You see what I'm saying? We're going to need more helpers than we have ever had before. But when you're doing that, that means you're growing in Christ, because that's part of being Christian, is helping. Let me talk a moment about giving. Giving. Bible's very clear that Jesus in Luke 6:38, and I love this scripture, it contains for us the law of reciprocation. And listen to it. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The law of reciprocation. This is also true in the law of sowing and reaping. Simply put, you cannot outgive God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's not just a whole lot of teaching or preaching about your finances. We don't even receive an offering like up and down the... There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we may do that with special speakers, but I do believe that if you're growing in Christ and you understand the scriptures, and we want to teach enough that people understand it, that the tithe, that tenth, it's the starting point on your giving into the kingdom. Even before the Mosaic law was established, Abraham understood the practice of the tithe. And in the many years that I've been pastoring, I've had so many people come up and share, "Pastor, I can't believe the difference. We were struggling, and we decided we were going to take the Lord at His word and begin to tithe." And it's amazing how in giving, honoring the Lord through that tenth, that's a starting place. To honor the Lord with that, how much further the other 90% goes. And it's not that the Lord owns 10% of it and you keep 90%. The truth is, all of it's the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But it's just amazing. J.C. Penney, I remember when I first began ministry years ago, 38 years or so ago, hearing about J.C. Penney back in the old days when he started his business. And he was a man that believed in tithing. When he was getting his business going, he started, he gave a 10%. And then he started being blessed. He gave 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. And they said before he died, he was giving 90% of all the profit that he was making to ministries for the Lord and to the kingdom. God just kept blessing. You cannot out bless God or out give God. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barn shall be filled with plenty, and your vat shall overflow with new wine. And don't always think nickel to nickel, dollar to dollar, Benjamin to Benjamin. It's not necessary. The blessings of God, the things that God does for us, and yes, He takes care of His own. Just like that scripture, the wealth of the wicked is weighed up for the righteous. I don't believe the Lord put all the diamonds in the earth and the gold and veins of silver for the world's crowd to use against the things of God. Those are His children. But what's awesome about honoring the Lord is you get what money could never buy. Many billionaires tonight will lay their head on a pillow and they have no peace. There's more millionaires on earth than there's ever been. And if you're one, God bless you. I hope that more and more of His children will have more and more zeros on the end of their accounts and honor the Lord with the first fruit of all their increase. Amen. But I'm saying there's many millionaires that their family's falling apart. It doesn't matter how much money you have when you start losing your health. If you're miserable, when you honor the Lord, there's a stability that comes into your life. And I'm just saying in your financial life, giving. But it's just not giving of your finances. It's not giving of the tithe. And by the way, do you know, I'll say it this way and you can rebuke me later. If you want to find a double dog dare you in Scripture, you can find it in the book of Malachi. The Lord says, try me. Amen. Put me to the test. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven over you. That's the double dog dare you right there. You think God keeps His word? Well, if you're not sure, put Him to the test and see. Honor Him. But it's not just with our treasure. Also our time and our talent. Your time and your talent. And when you're helping, you're using your time. You're honoring the Lord in that way. So giving is also helping. It's important. Giving's important. And in a similar vein, serving is important. We read that. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. The servant is the one who's not thinking about himself or herself, but is focused on serving someone else, serving the kingdom, serving the needs of someone else. Very similar, but you find these different terms in Scripture. To serve, like the first deacons, which means servants. They were called on board to help make sure the distribution to the widows was being carried out properly. To minister to the practical needs that were taking place in the early church. Serving. Jesus, the night before He is crucified, and I would encourage you sometime, you know, we think about those intense hours that led up to Jesus being arrested and crucified. A lot of the teaching you find in particularly John's gospel, John 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, is Jesus pouring into the lives of His disciples hours before He's going to be executed. And one of the big lessons He taught them when they were gathered together there before they had the Lord's Supper for the last time, or where He instituted actually for the first time as the Lord's Supper, but their last meal together. He took a towel and girded Himself. This is a towel truth. He girded Himself and He washed the dirt off the feet of His disciples. And the significance of that was a task assigned to the household servant. A menial task. And Jesus said, if I wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And the core principle there is, if I'm going to serve you, you also need to serve one another. Serving. Serving. And again, thank all of you that serve. You know, on a given Sunday here, we'll probably have 60 to 80 people that are serving in some way. But it's so important. Because we are putting our own needs in park and putting ourselves in drive to help someone else, to serve someone else. And we're giving by doing that. Serving. Now, let me, with helping, giving, and serving in mind, let me briefly share some benefits of that. And if you're a note taker, you can think on these later, or you can just take your smartphone and just take a snapshot of that, and then you'll have it there in your smartphone. But here's some benefits. Number one, to overcome selfishness. I don't feel like I'm the only guy in the room that has to struggle. Well, you know, sometimes I want to do what Eddie wants to do. You can ask my wife. I'm surprised she's not already amen in that. But we can be selfish at times. But by helping and giving and serving, we're overcoming our selfishness. And that's really, really important for us to understand. Going back to what I mentioned earlier about that shadowy part of our lives. We get the better of it. We best that, and we let our better selves rise up. And we take and we add value to someone else. And that brings the second thing about releasing goodness. Good overcomes evil. You know, one way when it's tested is when people say all manner of evil against you. Falsely, for my name's sake, Jesus said, bless them. They curse you, you bless them. That's your better self overcoming someone else's worse self. You're releasing goodness, and goodness triumphs. And that goodness comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from the character of Christ developed in you. And it's so important for us to understand this. I read a story of a man in India. His name was Dashrath Manaji. He lived in the mountains of India. His wife became very sick, and he was trying to rush her and get her to the hospital, but that meant a trip around the mountains to a city where there was a hospital, and she died before he could get her there. Broke his heart. You know what he did? He decided that instead of becoming bitter and resentful, he was going to do something about it. He spent the next 22 years of his life chiseling a pathway through the treacherous part of that mountain so there would be a way to get to the hospital closer. You see, when heartache and hurt came his way, he decided, rather than being defined by it, that he was going to release goodness and he was going to find purpose. I mean, this is what life brought to his doorstep. So he turned it into something that would be a blessing to other people. Took him 22 years to do it, but he got it done. Sometimes the very thing that comes in your life that could take you out, it could be a negative thing, a harmful thing, a hurtful thing. By allowing God to help you, it can become a place of glory, a place of breakthrough, a place where you can serve and help and give. Actually, that's the story of every soul saved that lives for Christ. And it strengthens your foundation. Because you choose to not live your life in shallow waters. You decide to go deep with God. Whatever comes your way, you can face the hard stuff. You can go through it the God way. You can have your character formed. You can learn to give more instead of becoming fearful and holding on with greed. You become generous. We can only do this through the enablement of the Holy Spirit and the grace and mercy that God gives us. But this is the Christ life. This is the path of spiritual growth and development. Let me share with you some simple steps to take to get you started when it comes to helping, giving, serving. clean a toilet. Well, I got somebody to clean my toilets. That's the point. Clean a toilet. I'm not saying something to you that I haven't done and I don't do occasionally. As a matter of fact, I was very moved a few years back when one of our members came to me, and this person has a professional position, I'll just say it that way. And they said, would it be all right, could I possibly have a key to the church? And I said, sure, but what's going on? And they finally shared, well, they wanted to come down here once a week and clean the toilets. Clean up the bathrooms. They didn't want anybody to know it. And they did that for over a year. Every week. Came in. Late at night. No one here. Cleaned the bathroom. Cleaned the toilets. And when they left, they were sparkly, clean, and they smelled good. We have a cleaning crew that comes in. But they did this as a time of the week, even before they would come. Why? Because of what I'm talking about this morning. They wanted to humble themselves and do something they normally would not choose to do. It may not be a toilet for you, but it's something else. What's the hard thing? And can I ask you to consider this? Because this is something I made a decision to do. And the Lord spoke to me why. But try the first thing when I get out of bed, I make the bed. You see, everything we do in life, we're going to add order or bring disorder. And sometimes we believers, if we're not careful, we can be experts on all those things out there. And we can't even keep our own life in order. We don't even keep our own bed made. That's just a good place to start. You can make your own bed. Well, my wife makes my bed. Well, create a little shock and awe in your home. Mickey finally asked me, what's going on? But clean a toilet. Make your bed. Do the hard thing. I would encourage you, and let me just talk to the men a moment. What is something that you ask the Holy Spirit to help you right now? I already talked about helping, so let's just a little practical moment here. Holy Spirit, help me. What is something that you could begin doing for your wife that you know she does not enjoy doing, but you will humble yourself and serve her by beginning to do that thing? Now, if you're already doing a bunch of that stuff, there's probably still something else you could do. But I would think probably this might even bring a breeze of revival into the home. But seriously, guys, think on that. And I'm saying it out loud in front of everybody here. So maybe there's a little accountability there. Clean a toilet. Make a bed. Secondly, fast a pleasure. I remember when our daughter finished high school and before she started college, and she was had some scholarship money, but she said, Dad, talk to me and Mick, you know, Dad and Mom, I want to give a year to the Lord before I go to college. So she went and spent a year at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. And her first 6 months there, she learned a whole lot about fasting and everything. And the Lord spoke to me about fasting something for 6 months because of what she was going through. And you know what? During that time when she was experiencing all that, the Lord led her to her husband and led him to her. They met each other. Of course, she met her husband. A lot of good things happened in her life during those days that set her on a good course for her career, for her future. Now she's at home and he's working at home and the Lord's blessing them. Sometimes it's good just to say no to something you normally are always saying yes to because you enjoy it so much. And sometimes we need to say yes to some things. I'm not talking about sinful things. Yes to some things that we may not enjoy doing just because we need to humble ourselves and do those things. It helps us to grow and our roots to go deeper and strengthen that foundation I mentioned earlier. Thirdly, bless someone with a random act of kindness. This is a way of serving and helping. Sometimes it may be anonymously. You may or may not know the person. But ask the Lord, Lord, is there somebody I need to bless today? It could be a call. It could be a visit. Mickey and I, there was a young lady shared with us going through a real tough time in her marriage. As a matter of fact, the marriage ended up ending. And this young woman became a single mom with a couple of children. And she had the responsibility all on her because dad was off doing his thing. And she shared with us, you know, it's amazing. I had neighbors that came over. I didn't even ask. They came and they mowed my grass. People brought me food. And she just shared three or four things. She said, it would have been so hard for me to survive. She got in, and this is someone Mickey and I had prayed for years. And now she's actively involved in a church and on fire for the Lord. And good things are happening in her life. And you know what really helped her a lot? Is people being kind and helping her and serving her in her time of need. Begin tithing to tie this message together. That's another thing you can do. Volunteer to serve here at Grace House. I've already given you the commercial. We need you. We need people. And there's going to be more opportunities where we're going to have training for different things we're going to try to have in place as we move forward. Helping, giving, serving. You know, this morning was, I think, the third time in 16 months, about 16, no, 15 months, that range, the third time in a year that we were unable to have an 8 o'clock service in the parking lot, an outdoor service. You know what amazes me is he's not in this service, but Roger Bigby, and I know Butch is. These guys, I show up about 20 minutes before time. They have everything set up. Andrew's here. Got all the, and we had another crew when we were putting the tent up and everything every week. I don't remember a time when I was driving thinking, oh, when I get there, I hope everything's ready. It's just always ready. You appreciate people that can serve like that, can help that way. We have a number of you that are that way. It's part of growing as a Christian, being responsible, being willing to do your part, to carry your load. We don't want to be an 80-20 church where 80% of the money is given by 20% of the people, where 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I think we can do better than that. Can you imagine where everybody's choosing to do their part, to help, to serve, to give? What does that kind of culture look like? I know one thing. Through all the years of ministry, I've found the happiest people in the church are those who are serving and giving. Let's not allow the tentacles a modern culture to begin to suffocate us into that place of selfish consumerism where we just want things our way, where we want to be entertained, where we want what we like. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to enjoy yourself and you shouldn't be able to receive. I'm not saying, I hope you hear my heart. What I'm saying is serving and helping and giving just takes everything to a better place, a more powerful place, because we're being more like Jesus when we're manifesting those attributes in our character and in our life. And who is the church? But the people who are saying, we're here to represent Jesus Christ to the world. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Now, would you stand with me, and our worship team is coming. I want to ask you, first of all, to close your eyes for just a couple of moments and to do a few moments of self-evaluation. How are you doing in the area of helping? Giving. Serving. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Have you been battling with fear when it comes to your giving? Have you gotten where you're spending too much time in the lane of selfishness as you're going about your daily life? Is it time to look for those opportunities to exit and help someone else, serve someone else? Have you got in the routine of just coming to church and receiving and enjoying and going home and maybe not plugging in and investing and helping and serving? I want to continue to grow. We all should desire to continue to grow until we go to be with Jesus or He comes to get us. This is part of a healthy spiritual life. And this is what a healthy spiritual community ought to be like. Pray for me. I'll be a healthy pastor in this regard. Pray for our congregation that we'll all embrace this to a greater degree. And could we all pray the simple prayer, Lord, help me to help others. Lord, help me, grace me to be a giver. Lord, empower me to serve. I'm reporting for duty. Here I am, Lord. Use me. You'll not regret it. You were created to this end. So, Father God, I pray this morning that You would just solidify these truths in our hearts today. Help those who may be struggling. Help those at the point of decision. And I encourage you, I know we had a ministry time earlier, and I encourage you to know if there's anyone here you still need prayer, or if the Lord is dealing with you, this message has spoken to you in some way and you need prayer, I'm going to ask a few of our altar workers to be here and available to pray with you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss, but if some of our altar workers will just come. We always want you to know there's somebody here to pray with you. We don't want you to leave if you need prayer and ministry, even though we've had it earlier. There will be people here to pray with you. But I do challenge you and I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be someone who helps, who gives, and who serves. I do that in the name of Jesus on the authority of God's Word. Be a helper, be a giver, be a server. In Jesus' name. Mickey, would you come? Would you come? Just bring the microphone. I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer today. And again, there's someone here to pray with you. If you need prayer, the worship team will continue to worship. We sure do appreciate you being here today. We meet here Wednesdays at 6:30. Something for the little ones and children, and preteens and youth. And we have a Spirit Life worship service in here. We're here about an hour, 10 minutes on Wednesday night. We encourage you to come back. We have small groups. Once you plugged in, doing life with other believers, particularly in our culture right now, we don't need to be isolated and separated. So make sure you're connecting with others. God bless you big time.
So before I dismiss, there there's a sign up outside that says serve teams, and it lists lots of ways that you can just sign up to serve, and that can be as often or as infrequently as you like, but it does help so much. And we thank you, those of you who serve and serve faithfully. It makes so much difference. It's such a blessing. And so, Lord, we thank you that you call us to give our lives in your service and the service of others. Thank you, Father, for all the ways you bless us. We thank you for your word, for teaching us, Lord, how to live the abundant life, leading us in paths of righteousness, paths of joy and peace. Thank you, Lord, that your ways are not like the ways of the world, but they are the ways of life. And we choose those today in Jesus' name. Thanks for being here.